Mario, it's me!
Sounded like laundry.
There is no bathroom! There is no bathroom! There is no bathroom! They could throw it back to the cabin!
Put those cookies down!
Noodly! Wow!
Yummy! Yes! Let off some steam, noodles!
All right, very, very good. A little Arnold's Noodle Shop. Hello, Al! Okay, here's George Meany, everybody. I know you've been missing him. Look at him. Hello, George.
Hello.
How the hell are you?
I'm very well, and you?
Good weekend?
Yeah. Yeah.
George tells me he's mates with old Drikus's trainer.
Yeah, he's actually one of my customers as well.
Okay, he's one of your customers too. So there. See?
Yeah, CIT team is a car dealer.
Okay.
Well, CIT Motors is a car dealer.
Right.
CIT team is the training company. But he's actually a car dealer. He deals in Jeeps. He's actually probably one of the biggest Jeep dealerships, secondhand dealerships in the country.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jeep dealership. That could be a tank twister.
No, yeah. It is. Yeah. So how was your weekend?
Very good. Yeah. It was.
Did you watch the fight?
I did.
Okay, so you woke up extra early yesterday.
Well, in recorded fashion. So because you know, DSTV.
I was asleep. Happy to say.
I was too, but I just watched it after the fact.
There's something about a Sunday that's like, it is my sacred day. Because I just want to sleep. Leave me alone on a Sunday. Don't like to be woken up early. Doesn't matter what it is. In fact, getting me to leave the house on a Sunday is just about impossible.
No, I wait until about 12 o'clock so that I can order smoothies and things like that, because there's no way I'm going out.
No, there's no way you want to go anywhere, especially in winter, but I can feel it's getting a little bit nicer now. All right, so a couple of things we have to talk about this morning. Well, there's a lot to talk about, obviously. Your other mate, Elon Musk, seems to be making a lot of noise these days. He's arguing with Venezuelan dictators, getting pulled out of Brazil.
He's getting very political.
Oh, very, hey?
Very political, and he's aligning with views and people which he never did before.
Do you think that that's a result of him just like being himself and not giving a shit anymore, which would, I think, is admirable and honorable? Or do you think it's like a lot of people on the left are saying that it's attention-seeking and he's just become a brazen asshole and he's believed his own publicity? Or do you think it's a combo of the two?
No, I think it's his capitalist nature. Here's why. I think a couple of his businesses have had a run-in with the law.
Yeah.
In some states.
Yes.
And that's pissed him off.
Yeah.
And now he's starting to take a position, moving his businesses to Texas.
Right.
Actually, you know, saying, I'm not going to stand for this and I'm going to take a position. So I think it's not political. I think it's capitalist. It's his businesses coming under fire in places like Silicon Valley. Is where it stems from.
Is it not an ego thing as well? Because he just doesn't like to be attacked.
Yeah, no, I think he's, you know, he if you read in his autobiography, he was bullied at school. So maybe he has some reactionary issues to being bullied at school.
So here's an interesting conversation that I haven't had with anybody yet. And we may just start a trend this morning. When people say something out of ego is wrong, it's always wrong. Sure, probably 9 out of 10 times, that's correct. But if it wasn't for the people with the egos and they weren't standing up for egotistical reasons for themselves, I don't know how much would ever be achieved in the world. I mean, a lot of what motivates particularly men, but also women, I've met women with enormous egos, is this desire to win, to be right, to blindly sometimes go to war with whoever is fighting with you because you believe in yourself.
I think
that's ego.
You said it best this morning, and it probably fits into the same category.
Yeah.
You said if you want to defend democracy, you know, how?
Right.
What are you actually trying to say? And I think it's similarly with people that levy this ego thing on men or women for that matter. It's like, oh, he's egotistical. That comes from a place of ego. Like, describe that.
Yeah, it's not as if it's, you know, in my mind, you shouldn't be egotistical, you should be humble. They're just two different personality types, and you may or may not have both of them depending on the situation.
When we study history, for example, you don't learn the story of the humble, sweet people who mingled and fitted into the crowd and blended in. That nobody cares about those people, right? And history doesn't care about those people. And no one in the future will care about those people. It's the people who have a little bit of ego, sometimes it's oversized ego, that make history.
Well, I think ego could be mistaken for a drive to win.
Yeah, I mean,
drive to succeed.
If you look at Trump and Kamala, they both have big egos.
Well, that's
but they're using them differently.
Is it ego, or is it our definition of they're driven to get right what they want to get right?
I think there's another thing here, and I'd love to see what the comments section say about this, because they're always on the money. What about the fact that the only people who ever complain about ego, the only people who ever moan about someone who's a narcissist or whatever, are losers, are like people right. who are further down the food chain from those ones they're complaining about. You never get like truly brilliant, truly successful leaders, people who are absolutely killing it in every which way. They're winning at fights, you know, in MMA. They're running businesses. They're breaking Olympic records. They're raising their kids in a well, you know, balanced, loving way. They're able to do all kinds of cool things. They are not the ones you're calling other people egomaniacs. It never comes from those people. Always comes from people down the ladder from them. People who are jealous.
Jealousy.
I think a lot of that complaining and the moaning about egos and people who are full of themselves comes from just jealousy.
Envy.
Huh?
Envy, yeah. I know. I think it's a good way to put it.
Well, let's see what the comment section say, because they're bound to give us shit about this.
Chris probably says something about it.
Let's see what these idiots want to say. All right.
You've just said we want your thoughts because you're usually spot on. Yeah.
Come bring it on, you idiots. it's called tall poppy syndrome, says Percy. He's right.
Oh, tall poppy. What does that mean?
So this is a big problem. I had lunch with a friend of mine who's living in New Zealand now. And he said to me, this is a major issue over there. Tall poppy syndrome is that if you stick your head up above the rest, if you do a little bit better than everyone else in a country where a meritocracy, but a mediocre meritocracy is tolerated more
mediocre
than anything else.
Meritocracy,
you stick your head up a little bit too high, they chop it off. Tall poppy syndrome. Oh. The idea that you can do well, but you mustn't do so well that you make all the rest of us look bad.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's a thing that happens for sure. People only started complaining about Elon when he didn't drink the woke left Kool-Aid, says Congo Chris. There we go. Bebop Williams says, the issue is that 90% of people want to be the alpha in the room. We're basically living in a room full of alphas.
No.
I don't think that's true.
I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. There's very few.
That Don Kitty says, we're spot on about saying things Gareth will disagree with. Yes, that's why I sometimes read the comments. Sometimes I just ignore you. We should celebrate that Elon is now MAGA, says Matthew Dixon. Bitcoin Boot says, X is becoming the most popular platform. He'll get his money worth soon. Because people thought he was stupid when he bought X Twitter.
Let this sink in.
Yeah, and I mean,
it's not increasing in terms of the social media stats. And in fact, neither is TikTok.
Oh, really? Are they slowing down?
Absolutely. In fact, Facebook still showed some improvement, which is hilarious.
When last did you go on Facebook?
But the biggest, the fastest growing, certainly in America, and this is according to stats from a month or two ago, is Reddit.
Really?
Reddit?
Yeah.
I think it's because it's so real.
It's so real. People want reality. TikTok started off as real, but then it turned into a show.
If I Google something and I get a Reddit response, you know,
you'll go into it.
I'll actually read a Reddit response because it's a real person with some knowledge. Mm.
Is Reddit?
It's a platform. It's almost like not a chat room, but a forum.
It's a traditional forum.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like the ones we used to have on MIRC chat all those years ago.
Yes.
Where there's somebody asks, poses a topic, and then
possibly be popular. But what happens on there?
It's almost like
you get answers to everything that you want.
Like what?
Anything. I mean, that's like saying to me, what can I Google?
Okay. Are there Reddits about, I don't know, leather goods?
Yes, or you might
fresh produce.
You might have a certain experience yourself, or some medical condition, or you know, am I the only one that this has happened to? And you'll find out it's very soon that you're not. There are huge forum pages dedicated to your issue. From there, you can take advice if you want to. You can learn from others' mistakes, and it's just very real. Obviously, there are people who put in stupid comments and things, but that you're not going to avoid.
Well, there's some compliments and complaints about Reddit going on in the comments. The Don Kitty says, Reddit's hilarious. Bitcoin Butt says, Reddit is not real. It's a cesspool of liberals.
started in 2005.
It's basically just a chat forum, says Azalea. Okay. Back to your cave, Gareth, says Slippery Pickle. you know, I don't have TikTok. I don't have Reddit. I'm okay with that. Like, you can't have everything. Mm-mm. I'm very good at like not wanting certain stuff. And I'm sure that there could be some Google results that send me to Reddit. Do I have to have an account?
No.
You don't. So I can just go and read the stuff and get out.
You probably have read a Reddit.
Okay.
And you just don't realize it.
Okay. Read a Reddit. That sounds like it's a bit of a repetition going on there. Reddit's both a house of learned doctors, a toilet, and a Nazi rally all at the same time.
It's a big cesspool.
Sure.
Yeah.
There's a Reddit forum about anything, Gareth, but if you go against the narrative, then you're booted. Is that true?
Yeah, people are quite reactive.
But why would I go into a Reddit and comment if I don't know anything about the subject?
Well, to comment, you have to be registered, so... I don't think you can be anonymous. I'm not sure, but so you can see it. You can consume it.
Okay, got you. George, is that a mohawk combed flat? It looks like a lesbian hairstyle, says John Bad. Yes, sis. People are terrible.
Hey, listen, yeah. If you had as much hair as I did, you'd say the same thing.
There's probably a Reddit says Bitcoin Boy about Gareth being a puss. Okay, that's fine.
It might be.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. Go and check. Is it an app as well?
I don't even. It is an app, but you don't even have to use it. I mean, like we say, it comes up in a lot of search results.
Yeah.
Someone here is perma banned on Reddit because I'm a puss. So that's Bitcoin Boots again. Like, you're using that word far too much for a Monday morning, eh? Dude, calm it down. You know, it's not the lekkerest word. Another Vietnamese wat ons Vietnamese.
We'll be displaced by ChatGPT.
So apparently, Graf Renet, which seldom makes headlines, surprise, surprise, they might change the town's name to Robert Mangaliso Sobukwe.
Okay, I wonder how the people of Graf Renet feel about that.
Well, some residents reportedly outraged by the idea. The research study conducted on public opinion about the name change revealed that the majority of residents opposed the change, expressing a strong attachment to the town's historical identity. The study also highlighted a complex interplay between place names, identity, and social cohesion in South Africa. Let me just ask you this. Since your town, if you live in one of these towns that's been renamed, like Rebecca or whatever it is, has anything got better? Because if it has, since the name change, great. If nothing's got better, if it's only got worse or stayed the same, why bother?
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
What do you think?
Yeah.
I think all of this stuff is like when politicians are trying to mask that they've completely done nothing. Like, William Nicol became Winnie Mandela Drive, right?
Yep.
It's all the same places, same stuff. I didn't notice
same
any
traffic,
improvements.
Same traffic, same shit driving, same potholes.
Yeah.
Same traffic lights that are out. In fact, more are out.
Right.
This is my route, I think.
And the shopping center is still called Nicol Way. Which is funny because they didn't change that to Mandela Way, right?
Yeah, and nothing's changed. And
didn't improve your life, Leanne?
No, and in fact, there's some signs that still say William Nicol. There's some that say William Nicol and Winnie Mandela, and Winnie Mandela's sign is hanging like this.
No, man.
I promise you. It's a mess up. It's a complete mess up. In fact, my business address is William Nicol, and the people who started the business said, until the sign in front of our office is changed, we're still William Nicol.
Yeah. It's unbelievable.
What does it mean? What does that name change mean?
So I'll tell you this about Graafrenet. It is a place that's linked to Robert Sobukwe. I actually think he's buried there because he spent a bit of time there. Robert Sobukwe, of course, the famous Pan-Africanist who was considered so dangerous by the previous government that he was put in solitary in his own house on Robben Island. So when Mandela and the other prisoners were in the prison building, this guy had his own house. And some of the things that he wrote and some of the things that he stood for and some of the things he said are, I mean, in looking back, truly revolutionary and just incredible. He also spent a lot of time in Kimberley, a very sad kind of byline of the story that that happened to him after he was released from prison, as he kind of died in ignominy. Nobody really paid any attention. His candle kind of just burnt out in the end, and it was very sad. But I think he is buried in Graafrenet, so there's a link there. It's not as if, you know, Robert Sobukwe has nothing to do with it. They're just looking for a place to name after him. But I'm sure that Graafrenet, the name itself, has all kinds of links too. I don't happen to know them off by heart, do you?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to look it up, but as I do, I'm thinking more and more about the town. We often drive through it, right, or past it.
Anyone who's driving from Joburg to Cape Town or vice versa.
Yeah. So it's actually the fourth oldest town in South Africa that I didn't know, after Cape Town, Stellenbosch, Simonstown.
Okay.
But yes, it was a starting point for the Great Trek groups led by Gerrit Maritz and Petra Tief. At the moment, as it stands, if you just look at their language stats, for instance, it's 71% Afrikaans. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, interesting. I didn't know half of that stuff.
It was established by the Dutch East India Company in 1786 after Cape Town and was named after the then governor of the Cape Colony, Cornelis Jacob van der Graaf, and his wife.
Okay. You said, and I'm not surprised because George would go straight to this, you're being a businessman, how much it costs to rename these things.
Yeah, I always try to look at things in terms of opportunity cost.
Yeah.
So what is the best opportunity that you're foregoing in order to do what you're about to do?
Yeah.
And that's the real cost. It's, you know, and so what else could they do with the money?
Oh, so much. I'm pretty sure Graafrenet,
for a small town like
that. Yeah, they could do with anything. New municipal offices, a swimming pool, maybe a playground for the kids.
35,000 population. There's a lot you could do with that money.
I'm pretty sure that they could find a way to make every one of those 35,000 people's lives better than if they just renamed the place. Because renaming the place doesn't help anyone. There's no one alive right now who's going to go, oh, well, that changes everything and my life is 1,000% improved by the change of name. It's a funny thing, like there are these governments all over the world that insist on changing names because it makes it look like they're busy.
Well, I mean, there could be another reason. And, you know, if you think about somebody dying today, within 1 to 2 generations, you're forgotten.
Yes, correct.
There's no record of you. Nobody's talking about you. So this could be a way for the government to keep people's memories alive. That's probably one driver, but I think it might be an expensive driver.
Well, I like the way that you went straight to how much does it cost. That's exactly right. okay, so that's one of the stories in the news this morning. There are a couple of others that we need to talk about too. And I don't know if you were paying any attention to the news over the weekend, but there's definitely some stuff going on. Mad Max prequel, apparently people are talking about that. And
were you ever a Mad Max?
I was never really, like, again, some things just pass you by. Mad Max was the famous movie. Tina Turner was in the soundtrack. Mel Gibson, set in like this post-apocalyptic world. But I'm not a big Mad Max guy. Did you ever watch it?
No.
Are you ever a big fan?
No, never.
I watched the first one, or not the first one, the second one. I think because there was one in 1960s or 70s, I think.
Yeah.
And then there was another one in 1980 something.
Yes.
So I think I watched that one.
There's
quite a number of them.
So it's coming back?
I don't know. They're doing some kind of prequel to the original, but that doesn't sound to me like it's going to be a major winner. I'm not sure. Every town outside of Joburg is mostly Afrikaans. I'm in Sodwana and I haven't spoken English in the last 2 weeks, says John. Congo Chris says we should get a petition to get PE renamed to Gareth Cliff Bay. Oh, that would be horrific. I promise you, I would not go there for the opening ceremony. I would not. I would not even cut a ribbon. I wouldn't mind just outright calling South Africa Mzansi. Make everyone use that name. Well, for example, Swaziland has become Eswatini.
Mm-hmm.
But most people still call it Swaziland. So I saw the name has changed in, for example, the Olympics, they call them Eswatini. But most people in the world are probably like, where's this Eswatini place, right? So you got to be careful about this too. It could downgrade you. If people know you and that's your brand.
Swaziland is quite a big name.
It is.
It's a big name. It's like changing the name of South Africa.
Well, this is what somebody says here.
Don't
like,
talk too loudly.
Mzansi. I mean, would that be a good thing or a bad thing? I don't know.
It would probably confuse Americans even more, which is a good thing.
I mean, I think the rest of the world's just learned where we are.
Yeah. South Africa is, it kind of works. And also it tells them where we are on the map. If they go south and they find Africa, they'll find us eventually.
But they do think it's a region because it's called South Africa.
That's also true. I'm shocked that the Floyd Shivambu story has just died. It's pretty huge. Zero loyalty from these commies, says Carl. Well, I looked at a graphic that someone in the MK party had made of all the people in the MK party. I'm like, what? In fact, I think it was Mzwanene Manyi, Jimmy Manyi. And I looked at these people. I'm like, yo, if you actually had to create a party with all the worst people in South Africa in it, you couldn't do better than that graphic. It's like Floyd, Manyi, Brian Molefe, Lucky Montana, Judge John Hlophe, Jacob Zuma. These are all the guys who are implicated in all kinds of state capture and corruption. And it's like, yeah, that's our party brand. That's what we stand for. These are the guys. We've gone around. We've managed to pick the very worst fruit in the whole orchard, and we put it in our basket. We're very proud of this.
If you wanted to know why we were behaving like we were, it was because we wanted to gain entry to this party.
Exactly. It's like their audition for the party was like, how badly can you behave? How much wrong
it's
can
like
you
the
do?
Vikings.
Yeah, it's very weird. I am so interested at the moment, and I've been watching a lot of YouTube videos about the early Middle Ages, like the years 500 to 800 AD.
Must have been a weird place to live.
It was such a bizarre place. I mean, there's some years there where they just don't have any
record
of what was happening in Europe or the Near East or the Mediterranean. There's just nothing. For like 100 years, there's very little information. Somewhere around the year 455 to 555, it's just chaos everywhere.
Well, I mean, I think
people fighting, stealing, burning, breaking. It's like properly just
like
rough.
Mad Max.
Yeah, like Mad Max.
Exactly.
And everybody goes, oh, well, you know, Europeans, they led the way. Well, not at that time. That was a disaster area.
You don't have to go back too far, but and records start disappearing.
Yeah.
My sister and I have been on a mission for the last 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're German citizens.
Oh, really?
And if you can prove your ancestral link on the male side, recently changed.
Yes.
On the male side, you get German citizenship.
Hmm.
And so we went on this mission to find records. Because of the people that fled Germany, my family was one of them, you battled to find records. And you have to go to different archives, different places to find the records. We found some records from Southwest Africa. One of my recent ancestors was a prisoner of war, which is very interesting.
Oh, I mean, the apple doesn't. No, I'm kidding. It's not. That is a surprise because you are quite a law-abiding citizen.
So you just go back probably 200 years. And I think records start, especially in the World War times, records start disappearing.
And obviously in Europe during the 1930s, there was a lot of stuff destroyed as well. Actually went out of their way to like burn and destroy records.
Yeah. So imagine 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 years ago.
No. It becomes like, impossible.
It's impossible.
Well, I mean, I know from the study of genealogy, which is linked to what you were saying now, that there's certain stops. You just can't get past them. Mm. In South Africa, we have pretty good records, by and large, going back maybe 100, 200 years. Before that, it gets sketchy. Mm. And then you go to Europe or you go to America or you're wherever, you know, and then it's very, very hard to figure out what's going on.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, we found records to the early 1800s.
Yeah.
Which was and beyond that's difficult. It's difficult to find.
If you could go back in time, I mean, this is my idea of like the best possible thing for what heaven would be like, right? A time machine. If you could go back, what kinds of things would you absolutely desperately want to see?
Back in time.
You can't change anything. You can't like go and get involved in buying Microsoft shares, you know, when Bill Gates launches it. You can't do any of that. You can't get involved at all. In other words, you're almost like in a glass bubble.
Roman times.
Roman, but like, any particular series of events? You want to be there for the assassination of Julius Caesar? That would be quite something.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm fascinated by how they communicated, how they...
Well, in Latin, you wouldn't understand a word. Neither would I.
Assume you can go back and understand what they were doing. How they communicated, how they led, how the politics worked.
Whew.
Because, I mean, they almost took over the world.
Yeah. They did at that time. It was the known world.
Surely that wasn't by mistake. Surely it wasn't just a perfect storm. It had to have been calculated to a certain degree.
Mm.
I'd be interested to understand that.
Leanne, where would you go?
Oof, probably to something true crime-ish that was never, ever solved and being able to go in and try solve it myself. Jack the Ripper, something like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Leaning into the psychology of people and how people were unaware that at that time and uneducated when it came to mental disorders.
Rebellious Ruth says Leonardo da Vinci's time to meet him and be in Venice before the plague. That would be quite something. Vesuvius erupting, says Azalea. I'd love to see that.
Hopefully you don't have to be on the ground and physically present.
Well, again, you can't interfere. You'd be observing, but you wouldn't be in it. You know,
to be in Area 51.
What, when they discovered the Roswell crash happened?
Shit was going down.
No, that would be quite fun. See what's really happened. Because often we don't realize how privileged we are in our existence now. You know, you can... There was a presidential assassination attempt just the other day on Donald Trump. And to us, it's like, we've already moved on. We have. Mm. It's like a month and we've moved on completely. Mm. It boggles my mind. If you were around for the assassination of Julius Caesar, you would have thought, okay, we got a new government. If you were just some peasant in Rome, it wouldn't have made any difference to you. You would have been like, oh, well, those elites always fighting with each other. I don't know that you would have thought like 2,000 years later, people would still be talking about this.
Yeah.
Cool.
And the things that we deal with on a day-to-day basis now that we think are completely unimportant, we're living through history. Mm. There are going to be people in the future who go, wow, I wonder what it would have been like to have been there in COVID.
COVID.
You know?
When we went through that,
yeah,
everybody was talking about the 1914, was it?
1912
flu epidemic.
Yeah.
Everyone was talking about that. The Spanish flu, yes.
Which is much bigger than COVID.
You know, so maybe you have to go through something similar in order to want to remember or to remember.
I like some of these suggestions. To see Beethoven perform live.
Mm.
To watch how they built the pyramids.
Yeah, you see, solving some mysteries.
That could be interesting. Yeah. Carl says, I don't want to go back. I want to go forward. To when Elon Musk is governor of Texas and Chris Pappas is our first openly gay president. All right. Well, yes, there are those options too. You can go forward or backward. See, I'm a little bit nervous about going too far forward.
The resurrection of Jesus.
Absolutely, right. That was at the top of my list. Yeah. I'd like to have been there to watch like either the birth of Jesus or to have seen the crucifixion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, whether or not you're a believer, if that historically happened, that's the most significant event in like the last 3,000 years, without a doubt. Yeah. Look at how it's changed the world. I wouldn't have minded seeing that. Wouldn't have minded being there. Again, I mustn't like be able to get involved because it was a very, very violent and shitty time. But the French Revolution would also have been fascinating. Yeah. Imagine being around watching them like cut off Marie Antoinette's head.
I think we're softies today.
Total.
If you could get involved back then, you'd probably die very quickly.
Yeah, all of it's scary. None of it feels like a happy place. Even if you think of something beautiful, like taking a stroll in the gardens of Versailles, you're still going to have to shit in some latrine river slosh pot in the castle. None of it's good.
We're very lucky in the time that we live in. I think people complain a lot, but go back 1,000 years and you're risking death every day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Listen, people didn't last very long. Genghis Khan, says Azalea. Whew. Very scary. Very scary. Imagine being there when you, you watch some remote ancestor of ours climbing down from the trees and first walking on two legs.
You see, one of the first things I thought of was the Garden of Eden.
Again, if there's anything to it.
If the creation existed.
Sure.
To see for myself.
And Mapelo says, imagine if you could take your phone with and take pictures. Oh, my God. I'd be happy if someone else even went and brought us the pictures. We'd be
accused of it being AI. It wouldn't stand a chance.
Oh, yeah. I would love to see some of that stuff. Go to Jeff Epstein's jail cell before he died, says Bushveld Butt.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you just see Hillary. That's all.
Or the Queen. Or Mary and Joseph getting at it before they got married.
Yeah. I think Judas says Jesus times are also Roman times. I would have loved it. Yeah, if you could have gone back and met anybody, that's a whole other thing, right? There's that ongoing thing of like, who would be your favorite people at a dinner party?
Mm.
And I think that list for me is so long, and almost none of them will be alive right now.
Mm.
I mean, if you could have a big party with 100 people from history, and they could all meet each other for the first time, imagine that.
It'll be a bloodbath.
Have like Cleopatra. I'd love to see that. Shit, that would be fun.
Talking about egos, wow.
Oh, yeah, big time. Especially if you invite the kind of people I would invite. All right, well, that's interesting. Then another thing that's quite interesting is that, this is really amazing. Kamala Harris's plan to lower costs and provide first-time home buyers with 25,000 Rand to cover the down payment. She's talking about something, and we've got to discuss this too. She's only revealed one thing that comes from a policy point of view, and people are really upset with Kamala. She hasn't done any interviews, no press conferences. She isn't talking to anyone. She looks like she's going to just ride it out until as close to the election as possible. The minute she opens her mouth, her numbers drop because she's as thick as pig shit. She really is. And they're keeping her away. They're actually just keeping her away from the media because the media, while they're on her side in a big way, are also very much aware of the fact that if they ask her a question, she's going to sound really stupid answering it.
Are they on her side or are they just anti-Trump?
Well, you're probably closer to the truth there. Yeah. They're anti-Trump, but they would rather, they'll do anything they can to support Kamala because they hate Trump so much.
You could have a Neanderthal
there.
And the media would...
That's probably true.
Yeah.
Like
well,
that Neanderthal
that's what happened with Joe Biden.
That Neanderthal we pulled back from like the future, the past, right? And bring into the future. She did say something the other day about price controls. Now, this is just... It boggles the mind that we are still... People think that this is a thing that can happen and work. They've tried this in various countries. All that price controls do is they push up the prices of goods and the quality of goods goes down. You don't mess with the free market because if you do, it's a kind of social engineering and it always brings about more inequality, not more equality.
So my 2 cents on price control.
We just made it 5 cents because we decided your 2 cents
with less quality of an answer.
So it's more than doubled.
Yeah. Your opinion counts a little more, you see.
It triggers a race to the bottom
mm-hmm.
and then a rise to the top.
Right.
So everyone falls, but then the best rise right to the top because you can't survive in the environment to compete.
Well, by way of example, somebody on X over the weekend quoted the price of LASIK surgery on your eyes, right? So for some people, if you had bad eyes and you couldn't have them fixed, that was the end. You were going to go blind, or you'd slowly lose the ability to see far or see near or whatever it might be. And LASIK surgery used to be hugely expensive. Now it is affordable for almost everybody, whether you do or don't have medical aid, in a way that it was impossible to imagine 30, 40 years ago when they discovered this new form of treatment.
Why?
And it's because the free market has done its work. This is what happens.
Because in the beginning, the price is high.
Yeah.
And because there are a couple of companies where the price is really high, mm-hmm. causes number 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and the rest of the competitors to be able to price up slightly, make profits, mm-hmm. and actually survive.
And do research and development, yes. and all of that
and
stuff
then
too.
Everyone's prices decline as it becomes a commodity. Whereas if you artificially force that down, all you're doing is you're killing the bottom end. Mm-hmm. You're just killing those people artificially.
Yeah. So in other words, very bad idea from Kamala Harris. Just a very bad idea. It's like apparently Javier Milei, who's my favorite politician in the world right now in Argentina, he abandoned rent control, which is also where they just artificially tell you what the price of an apartment should be or a house. Very socialist policy. He's abandoned that, and suddenly the housing market is booming.
Well, they, I mean, they,
surprise!
It's never a dictatorship around the low end. It's always a cap.
Yeah, correct.
You know, it's never a minimum.
Exactly right. What do you think? This came up just briefly with Ben and Leanne earlier, George. This idea of people, everybody's doing mushrooms now, and Leanne said that a lot of these people are finding religion as a byproduct of trying mushrooms.
So I watched a really interesting podcast, but funnily enough, this thing's magic mushrooms are being served to everybody, you know, on YouTube, and
yeah.
it seems to be a thing.
Right.
So I watched this really interesting podcast where they did some research on human brains on magic mushrooms.
Yeah,
and it turns out that every one of us have a brain pattern that's like a fingerprint.
Mm-hmm.
You have a unique brain pattern.
Okay.
And my brain pattern is very different to your brain pattern.
I don't think I have a brain pattern. I think my brain pattern is...
Is it just smooth?
But it's uniquely that way.
All the thoughts fall onto it and then just slide off the edge.
And it turns out that when scanning a human's brain on magic mushrooms, it scrambles that pattern.
Ha! Huh.
So on scrambling that pattern, you and I become more alike, still different, but more alike because of the scrambling of the pattern.
Okay.
And then what results in after the use of mushrooms, apparently, is that your brain pattern gets reset slightly.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they think that people are change their opinions on things, change their ideas. So I think it's less about meeting God and more about just having a little bit of a hard reset.
I think that's exactly right. It sounds like everything I've understood from reading and listening to people who know more about this than me is that it actually does this reset, and then you're allowed to build new neural pathways. Mm. And people think about things very differently.
Exactly.
So maybe we should just force all the politicians to go for a hard reset.
It's so weird.
Can you imagine how cool that would be? All our politicians, we just put them into a big retreat for a weekend.
And then we force them all to eat them mushrooms,
but they must
like
eat
foie gras.
5 to 10 grams of the shit and just like have the most insane trip ever. And then all of them go, oh, actually, we've just realized we're here to serve the people. Let's try and do the right job.
I
don't know why I'm scared of it.
You've never done anything.
I've never done it.
No, not mushrooms. But that's the thing. I've tried other drugs. I smoke. I drink. Sometimes I don't exercise. I'll eat fatty foods.
But all of it has a sense of control.
And I'm scared of controlled mushroom doses.
But that's what I'm scared of. I'm scared of the out of control experience. I don't
know if I want to see God, quite honestly. I'm quite happy not doing that.
I don't know. I mean, surely there's a bit of curiosity there.
Yeah, there is.
Right?
Of course there is.
I think as a teenager, when you start trying and experimenting with these things, you have the sense of fearlessness that allows you to do it.
Mm. I've done it.
Can you overdose and die?
Yeah, I think you can die, but you'd need to take a severe overdose. And usually it's related to, again, I'm not a doctor. You'll need to talk to the experts on this. It can result in cardiac problems for people who already have cardiac problems.
Predisposed.
No. So you would have to, you'd have to do it if you are worried. You'd have to do it with someone medical who's medically pro. Trained who can look after you through it.
So you say but you've
mostly,
done that?
Mostly it happens here. Yeah, I have.
What is like it? In a controlled environment?
Yeah. No, like properly, like a shaman type thing.
I wouldn't
regulated
take you
dose.
As someone who would do that.
I know, and I didn't think so either.
And your experience?
Oh, it didn't. I wouldn't say that it completely reset and rechanged and rejigged my whole life.
But would you know?
No, I think it was a very interesting experience and something that I'm not in a huge hurry to do again, but I would recommend it to people, especially if you're unpacking a lot of difficult stuff. I just went into it for the fun in order to experience something different. And I got that and it was terrific. And I had a huge headache the day afterwards because your brain is literally it's repurposing itself. And I think that that's very good. And I think it can do a lot of wonderful things for people who are in a bad place or have gone through a lot of terrible things. I think it's much harder for them than if you go in and you just experience it.
Well, I mean, the types of people that they're using this on is soldiers of war with PTSD.
But
really,
people who
have nowhere else to turn.
I don't recommend it for people, but I also don't not recommend it. You know, you got to do you, boo.
You do you, boo.
And I'm not going to tell anybody whether I think that they should hop on that train or not. I know that there are loads of people who've done it and it's changed their life in an enormous positive way. I've certainly found it beneficial and interesting, but I didn't think it was, oh my God. Everything has changed. You know, that scrambling thing you talked about made a lot of sense to me. Because people often go into these things and they come out and they have similar experiences. But it's because that unscrambled or scrambled code feels the same to them.
Yeah.
Even though their brains are very different.
Maybe they didn't take enough.
No, I don't know. Let's see what the comments, let's see what all these people are saying. Let's be honest, no one has seen God. The Bible clearly says that too. This is from Judas. The God these people are seeing must be the mushroom God. Probably. Was this when you changed your views on religion, says Carl? No. I've reformed my views on religion mostly because I, with the benefit of hindsight, could see what a total asshole I must have been a lot of the time. And I just didn't like that. I didn't like the way I felt about the way I said things about people and treated people. It's just unnecessary. So yes, I mean, I started changing my opinion on that a long time ago. Plus, I thought the world as it is at the moment, the enemies of civilization and of decency and of culture and sophistication are not the religious people. There's a bunch of other secular people who are much more dangerous to that stuff than the religious people are. So I can't have enemies on both sides. You got to choose who you want to be close to and who you don't want to be close to. You can OD on anything, says Hadmin, even water, all about responsible use, like I do with cocaine. I told you the comment section was dangerous. Jesus. All right.
It's true about water.
It is.
You've got to have a certain
4 liters.
Amount of sodium in order to take that on board properly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where does one go to reset their brain? I might need that, says Letu Kolo. Listen, I mean, it's supposedly illegal in this country. So you shouldn't just be able to do it. But But there are people who can, you know, but you got to do it properly. I can't tell you who or where or when, but you'll find people and there is a way to do it. And I would, again, if you're curious, I recommend it. It's not like you're going to suddenly have, you're going to spaz out and be a completely different person at the end of it. You might, but chances are that you'll be exactly the same person you were before.
Mm-hmm.
Congo Chris says, imagine a wise man at the top of a mountain. Psychoactives are taking an elevator at the top for a day trip. Doing the work is long and brutal, but you get to stay. So he's saying, if I read this right, Congo Chris, that rather than doing the drugs and getting to the top of the mountain, you actually have to forge your way up to the top on your own.
through self-help books and meditation and that sort of thing, right?
People are always trying to improve themselves unless they have given up, in which case I don't really have much to say for them. But people are doing all kinds of things. You train your body, right? You did the cold plunges. Are you still doing those? Mm-hmm. You still are.
Yeah, I haven't done it in a couple of weeks because my ice bath started corroding.
Oh no!
So the inside.
Oh, no. As you inside, didn't it start wasn't corroding.
Bad, but
what do you put in there? Sulfuric acid,
aluminium inside the bath, inside the the chest freezer. I noticed these little balls, bubbles on the metal. And it wasn't brown, and I didn't realize that aluminium actually doesn't corrode brown. It was like a whitish color. And so I started noticing these streaks. So now recently I've painted it with anti-corrosive paint. So now I need to adjust
George,
it
for what, it. What chemicals are you giving off that is corroding?
Could be my
your ice bath. That's horrific. Rancid Ancestor says, Gareth, you can go to the Ibogaine retreat in the heart of Beer Sport area. There we go. I see a lot of people in traffic picking their noses, says Carl. I think that's a way to manually change or reset your mind. You know, I was driving the other day, and you drive past lots of people. Mm-hmm. We always end up on a car topic at least once when you're here. Yeah. All right, just in case you don't know, George is also happens to be the CEO of Auto Trader. So it's useful to have these conversations around him. You see lots of people on their phones. Lots.
Yeah, no. It's actually it's a pandemic.
I drove past a guy on Winnie Mandela Drive, the other day, and he was going faster than me on the left-hand side in a Bucky with his phone like this.
Oh, my word.
I was like, you know, it only takes a second.
Yeah. I've seen it happen.
And something terrible can happen. And then I'm taken out while you're looking at your phone. I've looked at mine. I'm not completely guilt-free. Mm. I'm not guiltless on this front. Mm. We all have done it, right? But I've got to say, like the picking of the nose, I'd rather have someone picking their nose because you could still do that and look.
My worst is the guys in convertibles who are consistently picking at their scalps.
Oh.
Because of sunburn or golf, too much golf.
Leanne, that's horrific.
It's terrible, but it happens. You look out for it.
It's very bad.
Thing.
Do the people driving on their phones know that they drive like cuck? I'm afraid not. They don't. They don't even think about it. It's me. I'm going to look at my phone. I'm going to drive really badly. I'm going to swerve. My favorite ones are the ones who like drive extra slow on the highway while they're looking at their phones.
Ooh, so dangerous.
Yeah. I mean, anything that takes your attention. Driving looking at your phone is like driving drunk because you get this lapse of time that you can't explain because your attention is elsewhere. Mm. And like, oh, how did you do the last 5 kilometers?
Mm. Or even just a few seconds.
Well,
you're almost at the end of the sentence you want to type. Mm. But almost is actually 5 seconds and you've already gone off the road.
I've said before that is the one place that I think that voice messages are okay. Voice notes. Way better because you can talk. I mean, you shouldn't be doing complicated things like arranging your diary or making calculations about the company balance sheet while you're driving. That's not going to work, right? Because you can't do that and drive. But if it's like replying to a message saying, just driving at the moment. When I get to the office in about 15 minutes, I'll be able to message you. That's fine.
But iPhone's dictation is very good at that.
It is?
Yes.
Does it make terrible mistakes?
Hardly. I use it all the time.
And are you still talking to your AI the whole time?
Yes. ChatGPT is one of my favorite things to talk to in the car. But Siri on the iPhone is very good at dictation.
But you still have to check that message before it's sent.
If you've got Apple CarPlay.
Oh, I see.
So,
listen, George, I'm still in the same car that I was in when that you know me to drive. Not even the cigarette lighter works. There's no, I mean, I'm still listening to crackling radio because someone stole the aerial, you know?
Yeah, you see, here's the problem. John says, I can drive with a phone and eat and I'll still drive better than all women.
Oh, gosh, that's a popular thing to do.
Oh, I don't know, John, you're looking for shit now. You're barking up the wrong tree. Jethro says, all these Muppets on their phones are even too lazy to connect their devices to their onboard Bluetooth. Brand new BMW. Nah, let me use the handset, idiots. Mm. Now, CarPlay, you drive a lot of different cars, and you're always aware of the latest changes and what's going on. Which cars have the best interplay between your phone and your car? Which cars have the best setup?
Apple CarPlay and Android Auto is the best setup.
Okay, but in any car? Yes. Or are, you know, BMW, Mercedes, Jag? So if
outside of Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, I would say Volvo has one of the best interfaces.
Really?
And the reason is most car manufacturers are not software companies.
Yeah.
So they make really shit interfaces.
Right.
And Volvo has realized this and built their system on Google's Android system.
Oh.
So you can log in with your Google account into a Volvo, into the latest Volvos. The older ones were different. You can log in with your Google account into their entertainment system.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is built around Google's system. So that works really well. It's the manufacturers that are try to not integrate with a tech company's interface that's problematic. So all of them, every single one of them, except for Tesla.
Huh.
I saw being fed, you know, ads on my phone from like Temu or whatever, that you can buy a screen that you just put into your car.
Yes. Yes. That's Apple CarPlay and Android Auto.
But what would you need? Like, I can't use that in my car. Right.
You could if you want that external screen.
You'd need a USB though, would you?
Just to charge, just to power the thing, I would imagine. That's all.
Interesting.
Now Leanne's going to go and upgrade all her software in her car this week.
Yeah, because that's cost effective.
It's an external screen. I've seen those. Yeah. It's an external.
Oh no! Congo Chris says the Suzuki Fronks come standard with both. The Fronks.
What is the Fronks?
It's a kind of car. Yes, we spoke about it the other day. It's hilarious. What a great name, Suzuki Fronks. My sister uses the iPhone dictation. This is interesting. This is from Carl. He says, my God, she basically speaks Mandarin half the time. Just have an accident like a normal person. That's very funny. I use ChatGPT for my daughter's Afrikaans speech. It's epic. She's never going to get a job. Lol. Okay, very good. Everyone needs to come and ride a motorcycle. It's the non-phone holder in the car that's the big problem. Get the magnet type. It's easy to pull off in an emergency.
I've got one of those. It works with the magnets on the back of the phone.
Yeah, and then it just clicks. Just
clicks on.
Yeah, I've got one of those too. Yeah, it's the best way to go. Well. But also, you can't be doing this stuff. We're just chimpanzees. That's what we are. We're just chimpanzees, and we can't be too busy at once because we can only do one thing. I don't care who you think you are, how much you know about multitasking. I'm able to do 100 things at once. No, you're not. None of us is that smart.
Yeah. So if you've got simple Bluetooth in your car,
you
don't need Android Auto or Apple CarPlay. If you've got simple Bluetooth, put an iPhone anyway.
Yeah.
The phone, in the settings of the phone, you got to switch it on. The phone recognizes that it's attached to Bluetooth, and you can ask it to read your text messages to you.
Mm-hmm.
And then it can read through the Bluetooth. You don't need the fancy software. So if you've caused the Bluetooth, and you can dictate back.
Well, Bushveld Put says, Leanne, will your external screen be more valuable than your whole car?
That's exactly why I said it's not a good financial decision for me to do that.
Oh, that's good. All right. Very, very nice. Hands off the Fronks. It's a nice car, says KB. Thank you. Very good. All right, everybody. That's pretty much all the time we've got time for today. We will be back on Wednesday morning, bright and early at 6 a.m. Have an excellent Monday, George.
Thank
you. Lovely to see you too.
Thank you.
And don't forget to go and check out the Auto Trader podcast too. We will make sure that is in the show notes so that you can click straight through and go and subscribe and watch what they're up to. Get all kinds of interesting conversations going around the world of cars, the lifestyle of motoring, and everything else to do with all the stuff that Auto Trader are the best at. So that's always good. And George has got a great team of people there who talk about everything you could ever wish to know. So that's a big part of what they do. And of course, that's also the place to go if you, hint, hint, wink, wink,
need a new car.
Need to upgrade. Yeah. Time to get a new car. Yeah, or downgrade.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, you could.
I don't know.
There's always a wheelbarrow with a lawnmower engine. Never forget.
Or a Suzuki Bronx.
Yeah. It's almost time for George to bring us the most expensive and the cheapest car on Auto Trader again, and we'll have a little...
That's a good idea.
That's a good idea. We always like to do that. Find the cheapest car for sale on Auto Trader and the most, like, outrageously... What is it like on a menu where it says inquire within
POA.
Yeah, price on asking? You have a couple
I
of those.
Still, yeah. I still think the cheapest is the most fascinating, to be honest. Well, you know we'll the stories out. That car
Next
has.
Time George is here, we'll go for the cheapest car that they've got on Auto Trader, and we'll see what kinds of features it has. Maybe it's perfect for you, Leanne.
Maybe. No,
maybe
no,
it has a back tickler and a seat warmer and a full screen entertainment console.
Dead body in the boot.
Yeah, dead body in the boot. And a caravan attached for good measure. All right, we will see you on Wednesday. Have a good day, everybody. Cheers.